Beers and Buckets, the only podcast that discusses basketball and brews at the same time. We are no longer part of the Basketball Podcast Network, but
R.I.P.
Yeah, rest in peace. So if you're looking to add us to your network, we are free agents. We are in the portal, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I'm your host, Connor Caldwell. You can find me on Twitter at Connor J. Caldwell. And as always, I'm joined by the big blue demon deacon himself, Dal Harmon, where you can find him on Twitter at @do_wellharmon. So Dal, you're 2023 national champions, UConn Huskies.
This is gross.
Let me know how you really feel about it.
This is gross. They haven't done anything to earn any of these championships. Like, sure, they're good teams.
Except for winning them, but
other than that small detail. Like, but every team goes through trials, tribulations. You know, you get Virginia losing in the first round. They have multiple, like, good teams that don't really, like, that kind of underperform, whatever. Like, Gonzaga has made an Elite Eight for the last, like, however many years and can't do shit. And UConn gets to go to their 8th Elite Eight and win their 5th title because they get to play some other, like, low seed that they gave us probably the two most boring championship games in my lifetime in the Butler championship and this one.
Yeah.
Their other one that they beat Kentucky in, the Kentucky was like an 8 seed that year. Like, all they do is just get these tiny little seeds and beat them somehow, and it drives me insane.
It is interesting.
At least in 14, they had to beat a 1 seed.
Yeah.
But in...
I mean, what was Gonzaga this year? They were 2 seed, right?
3.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This is...
They had to play two... All right. This is ironic because it's me saying this, and I always defend the Mountain West or the West Coast Conference. But they got like a third of their games in this tournament were against West Coast Conference teams. Like, what are we doing?
Fucking crazy though.
Play like, a one seed.
You say this, Dal. You say they don't deserve it, but man, we just witnessed one of the most dominant tournament
because they didn't play.
Ever.
They didn't play.
They played enough.
Sure. They did not play anyone that was... Gonzaga is the only legitimately good team that they played on this run.
San Diego State is a good team.
No, they're fine.
They were for a reason.
They played five seeds. They beat 3 5 seeds and 8 seed and a 13 seed. Congrats.
Yeah.
An 8 seed Arkansas, do we even think they should have gotten an 8 seed? Meh. St. Mary's probably a little underseeded, but it's still... They played four teams from outside the Power Six conferences. Then they played someone that couldn't even win the down ACC this year and a team that, like, was, what, 500 in SEC play? Like, sure, it's impressive to be – like, you obviously can only play the teams that you get dealt. It's not your fault that
– Yeah. Teams,
but acting like this was – acting like this is one of the most dominant tournament runs makes it seem like this is one of the most dominant teams that we have seen, which is just absolutely not the case.
Did you say they couldn't win the down? Like, they beat Miami, who won the ACC.
Did Miami? I thought
Miami won the ACC.
Regular season?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, whatever. They won the down ACC. Like, the point still remains that ACC was kind of shitty this year. And so.
But also, Miami had one of the best offenses probably in this tournament. And same with Gonzaga. Like, they took down Gonzaga and Miami, who had arguably the top two teams in the top five for offenses, I'd say, in this tournament.
Miami was 6th in KenPom, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, other Gonzaga's, but they're 77th, they're 73rd and 99th, respectively, on defense. So, like, okay.
We'll keep talking about it. We'll break down the game a little bit. But before we do that, I want to drink some beer and open this up. So, Sagatalk, Michigan, blueberry, lemonade, shandy. That's what I'm drinking tonight. So, Sagatalk Brewing and creepy little face on the can. But I'm excited to try it. I bought it Friday night, didn't drink it all weekend in preparation for this. So here we go. It's okay. There's a lot more blueberry than lemonade.
I would want that to be the other way around in a beer.
Yeah, it's an ale with natural flavors. But yeah, definitely more blueberry than lemonade, but it's fine. I wouldn't say... It's could be crushable. Is it high on the crushable scale? No, but it's crushable enough. And it's kind of like I don't know. I have no comparison for it. Don't want to even talk about comparing it to UConn because I don't want to talk about Dan freaking Hurley. Oh, I hate him.
Are you drinking anything tonight? Loser ass comment. Yes. 12. When you are clearly getting the better whistle to be like, I don't know, didn't agree with some of the things those refs said, but I love those three guys. What the fuck is that? What a loser ass comment to make as your only halftime like interview comment. What a loser.
I agree 100%.
And then he's like, yeah, well, we probably should be up 20, which was like true because they should have absolutely been up more than 20.
Yeah, they should have been up more.
Like, you bitch about the refs that you're getting the right calls, and then you're like, oh yeah, well, we should be up by more, so that's all I heard from him. Little whiny. I just wanted to watch the LSU Caitlin Clark game again, and I would have been much more happy.
That game was tough to watch too, though.
Yeah, like, but at least those two were like good and scoring and like doing fun stuff. And you get Kim Mulkey on the sideline being like a maniac that she is. Like,
she should have gotten a tech. Like, you should not be running into refs.
Hilarious.
Yeah, you should not be running into refs. That was also a good game. So, and really happy for women's college basketball. Just
did you see the tweet about it, like, breaking
9.9 million viewers, which is like more than the finals had last year.
More than any Stanley Cup since 1973, which what was so special about 1973 Stanley Cup that meant that more people watched it? I have no idea. I looked up that game. Every single person in that game, except for one, was a Canadian person. And I didn't recognize any of their names, like, hardly at all. Sorry if the Canadian fans are going to, like, get mad at me for this, but, like, I didn't recognize any of their names, really. Not that I follow hockey all that much, but...
No, I don't follow it.
But I assumed it had to be some Wayne Gretzky game, like, where he was cooking, but it wasn't.
So, with the 13-point victory, how much they win by? Was it?
17.
Yeah, it's 13. 13,
72-59. That was a Miami game.
Oh, never mind. Just kidding. I have it pulled up right here.
76-59.
Yeah. So 17. That's what I have the article pulled up on the tournament run, but this was before. But either way, they're among teams that made the title game by winning all five previous matchups purely by double digits. Four of the five went on to win the national title. Do you know the team that did not cut down the nets?
Sorry, say that again. I was checking to see that I won one of my brackets, but
it's okay. So, of the teams that made the title game by winning all previous five matchups by double digits, there were four of the five went on to actually win the title. Michigan State in 2000, Duke in 2001, North Carolina in 2009, and Villanova.
I knew the UNC in 2009. What was the fourth one?
Villanova in 2018. There is another team that did not cut down the nets. Can you name that team? And it's since, like, it's been in the 2000s.
In the 2000s.
Well, 2000s and 2010s, like since 2000.
Yeah. Won all of their games by 15 or more, right?
Double digits.
Was the D-Rose Memphis team?
Nope. Is that your final guess?
No, I'm just trying to think of like, more. I'm trying to think of like really, really good teams that didn't win in. I know it's not Kentucky's 15 team because I was at one of those games and it was way too close for comfort. I wanted to make was it Louisville in whatever year they won that they where they didn't actually win? I'm trying to think.
You will be happy about it. To say the least.
Was it one of those like Duke early? Why would I be happy about it?
Because you think this coach is a huge fraud.
Oh.
Well, but not, still has the title.
That doesn't really narrow it down, to be fair.
But still has the titles to back it up, though.
Oh, titles?
Yeah.
I was going to say, was it one of the, was it like a Syracuse team? But
nope.
But they don't have multiple
titles. Frodheim only has one.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
It was UNC in 2016.
Oh.
Chris Jenkins. Buzzer beater. Got him.
God, they didn't play anyone either.
Yeah, that's true.
I had that Indiana team. That Indiana team is actually pretty good, I guess. The Yogi Ferrell, Thomas Bryant, OG and
Yep. So, all right, tonight's game, though. Adama Sanogo went for, I'm pulling up his stats on the on this game here. He won most outstanding player, so there's that.
He should, but he's not their best player.
He's not their best player, but he is their most important player.
That's not a hot take, is it?
No.
They don't play Jordan Hawkins enough, though.
No, they did not. They didn't give him enough touches. Sanogo had 17 and 10 tonight.
My friends kept being like, because I was watching with a couple of my friends and none of them pay attention to basketball. So they were like, oh, who's the best player? And I was like, well, 21 is like most people would say is their best player. But like number 24 for UConn is like going to be the highest draft pick from any of the like this. And
yeah,
they were like, oh, who? And I was like, I kept wanting to point to him. And I was like, he's not on the floor. And it took him like 8 minutes to get on the floor. And I was like, why? What is happening? Yeah, he only played 29 minutes.
17 and 10 tonight. He had an assist. He had one block and only played with two fouls, which is not super surprising because they were not calling fouls at all.
Nothing. Dude, the amount of rebounds that I saw were like, San Diego State would try and go for one, and fucking Joey Calcaterra was just like absolutely bear-hugging someone while they were trying to go get a rebound. Yeah. I was about to die. Him and Caravan were both just like, oh, no, it was Caravan, not Calcaterra, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I met my white guys.
And don't even get me started on Klingon, man. Like, that, him waving goodbye with a minute left.
You played 10 minutes in the game, you idiot. Yeah.
And also, like, come on, we just spent all this time talking about, you know, the women's game and didn't really acknowledge the
and what
there's gonna be no outrage for Klingon waving goodbye to the entire bench for, you know,
that man has less melanin than the minutes he played, which tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Anyways, but San Diego State, I mean, we were texting back and forth in this game. We did not trust this offense enough at all, especially going up against this defense that UConn has.
But
I mean, the fact that they went 36% on field goals, 26% from threes, Keyshawn Johnson like could not make the front end of a 1-on-1 to save his life. Like, anytime he got to the free throw line, it was always the second shot he'd make. Thankfully for him, it was mostly shooting fouls, so they weren't in the bonuses, but still. But all around, just it was, I wish it was a closer game. They cut it to like, what, 5 with like 4 minutes left, I think. I was like, oh, we are going to actually get a fun ending. And then UConn just completely like went on a tear. I don't think San Diego State had like another field goal after that. No,
and you know why that happened? Because my mother texted me and said, uh-oh, like, this is starting to be a game or something. And I said, Mother, why are we
doing this? Mrs. Harmon, what are you doing?
No, you can't do that.
Oh man. Anything else about this game? I mean, we're talking a little bit about it. It's not gonna be a super long episode. I know you gotta travel tomorrow, but
yeah, we still need to pack some, so
yeah. Yeah. No, but even in the final four games, did Butler step out of bounds? Not that it matters, we're talking about the ending of this tournament, but
I can't say for sure, yes.
Every single picture I've seen is so deep fried, you can't tell at all.
That man's in like, it's in like, not 1080p, it's in like literally 180p. Like, it's so grainy that I'm like, sure, I don't, like, I don't know.
All those photographers on press row and they can't get one picture of his foot.
To be fair, if you were a photographer on press row and the play is happening here and you're focused like this with your camera, like
wide angle camera, baby, wide angle camera.
True, I guess.
Something. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I need something with more than 4 pixels like per square inch on a frame to be able to accurately say if he stepped out or not.
That it's tough, but I mean, doesn't matter. Do we think FAU is gonna stop this UConn team? I think it'd be better offense than what San Diego's did, but that doesn't matter because UConn was doing whatever they wanted to offensively. Oh, so
they would have, the length that they had would have cooked.
Yeah, that's fair. So
it's why when you are going through your brackets, you pick someone who is both efficient in both offense and defense, because Connor loves to say that defense travels. I tend to lean more towards the offensive end in terms of reliability in the tournament, because if you go through like a scoring drought of 6 minutes, and well, I guess San Diego State kind of proved me wrong on this, but like if you go through a scoring drought of like 6 minutes, it's just hard to come back from that. But what's even better than that is to be able to have the other team go through a 6 minute drought or multiple in this case.
Yeah.
And also be able to just like go on a run. So the strategy remains similar.
Yeah.
Although RIP to the peak too early narrative that seems to happen a lot of times, because UConn is the definition of peak too early in that they were the best team in like all of basketball in December and then lost a bunch of games. And then we're like, oh yeah, no, we're going to be really, really good again.
The people that say that you need to take a couple losses or whatever before the tournament at some point, those people are up right now. they're like, yeah,
no, we're not going to give them that satisfaction. Mostly just because Matt is the main person that I know that is that, and we're not giving him the satisfaction.
It's true, but it is just funny to think about. Let's do this now. Let's do a way too early top 25. And when I say way too early, man, it is 12:12 a.m. after the season ended. And we are doing a way too early.
This is a way too late, way too early. Yeah, 25.
All right,
hold on.
You want to start with 25 and then work our way to number one?
No, I don't want to do this at all. This is
too bad. We're doing it, pal.
Oh my gosh,
we are doing it.
Let me pull up some stupid person's like.
Oh, I got Jeff Goodman's up, and I am not. I'm going opposite everything he says.
You win on terms of the stupid person that you could have pulled up. I'm pulling up Kevin Sweeney's on SI.com. What? All right. Who does Jeff Goodman have at one, actually, before we can start at 25, but who does he have at one?
Marquette.
Okay, this has Marquette too. Okay, never mind.
You know why? Because Marquette can return pretty much everyone.
Yeah, they do get literally everyone back. That's my fucking
sick. I've seen worse. 24/7 Sports has Duke as number one right now.
Yeah, this guy has Duke second. All right, 25th. What we got?
25. I'm going with Maryland. I think they're bringing back Jameer Young, Julian Reese. They are looking really strong to get Hunter Dickinson, but that is why I'm keeping, like, a lot of people be like, oh, they should be higher than Jameer Young and Hunter Dickinson on the same team. But there's been a lot of
Dickinson. So
yeah, he's a villain. And also, like, he is white Oscar Tshiebwe. Like, you're going to have some good games, but overall,
stealing my lines here, but
it's true. It's true.
I said it for a reason.
Yeah. I said it too. Like, I think we both said it before. Yeah. It's the fact that, like, you know what you're getting out of him, and his production doesn't equate to wins all the time. Same with Oscar Tshiebwe. So, clearly, as you had two NBA projected draft picks on this Michigan team, with Jet Howard and Bufkin. I mean, like, they didn't even make the tournament. So you think Jameer Young and Julian Reese are better than those two? I don't know. Probably not. Not that much better. And this is somebody that, and I speak saying, like, I like Jameer Young a lot. Don't think he's better than those two, though. So I don't know. But maybe it's coaching. I don't know. What do you think? Who's your 25th?
I'm trying to get my screen to let me do. There we go. No, don't do that. No, don't do that either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with Maryland there. I was thinking like San Diego State, FAU. I think there's a couple other teams that are kind of similar to that that are gonna return a lot.
People are way too high on FAU right now on these way too early.
I'm seeing like 15th, like
somewhere in there. I mean, Goodman has St. John's at 25th here. I think that's way too early to say that. They hadn't even recruited anybody significant.
And yet, they lost
Andre Curbelo.
Oh, man. Not exactly who I was thinking, but they lost Posh Alexander. So I'm too early on that, too. Let's go Maryland. I'm good with that.
Okay.
They're 21 on Sports Illustrated. And what did you say they were on 24/7?
24/7, they are 24th.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah. Number 24. I think Colorado is the answer here. I think they return a lot and they add Eddie Lampkin. Do you have any pushback on this?
They're 25th in on 24/7. They are not ranked on Heat Check College Basketball.
Apparently. Stadium/Goodman doesn't have them in the top 25.
All right, well then, yeah, this is perfect because we don't want to go with what Goodman has. So they're 24th on SI. So,
and I'm just going to let you know right now, I'm not putting North Carolina in my top 25. That's not happening.
Why would we?
Well, because Goodman has it, and so does 24/7.
Yeah, but we learned this the hard way last time. After
Baycott and Davis do not move me enough to put them back in the 25.
Armando Bacot, get a job, sir. Get a job challenge. Impossible, apparently.
This is not fun, but it is fun at the same time. So who are we putting at 23 here? I want to hear what you think.
Let's go. All right, I'm between two. Let's go. What do we think about throwing a little St. Mary's action here?
That's what I was. I had three possible answers. That's the one I was leaning the most on. I like it. Aiden Mahaney's back. They kind of fizzled. Well, not fizzled, but they didn't. They weren't as dominant as they were earlier in the season, even against like non-conference teams too. So they got figured out a little bit, but that's fine because they're also just. Aiden Mahaney's a future star, so.
And they got a 3-star center that's 6'10" from Seattle. That and then Mitchell Saxon that should be good.
Yeah,
they had some other dude that sounds super foreign, which
he sounds. He sounds like he'd be in Gladiator. Augustus Marciulianus. I don't know. It sounds like it's a name
from like Gladiator. That. And I assume this is like an actual top 25, like that. Happens during the season and not like a prediction for who makes the longest like
run. Correct. Yeah.
So I'm more comfortable doing that than saying, oh, like they're gonna be a bona fide like tournament team that
no
really like makes a deep run or whatever.
There's too many factors with that, like with injuries and stuff like that. We're just talking about like night one college basketball.
Agreed.
Yeah. So with that said, then I want to go with
Wait, are you writing this down? I want
to I got it. Our 22nd team, I'm going to go with Baylor here. And the reason I want to go with Baylor here is today was announced LJ Cryer out. You got Keontae George out. You have, who else? Flagler's probably gone, right?
Yes.
He could return, but he's probably gone. They have a transfer guard with Langston Love and Jacoby Walter. He's a 5-star freshman. But Jonathan Chama-Chachua
pronunciation.
he could use his extra year. Jalen Bridges could also be back. But I mean, the big three are gone, and that was what they relied on most this season. So it's just a lot of questions I have for them on where the scoring comes from. Is Jacoby Walter a good Keyonte George replacement? You know, there's just a lot of questions I have. I think keeping them safely here at 22 is fine. It's not a disrespect.
Sure. I like which Drew is their coach?
Scott Drew.
Yeah. Scott Drew well enough to trust him to get their defense back on the right path after they were really actually kind of bad on defense weirdly this year.
Yeah.
So I'm good with them there.
Yeah. All right. Who do you think that should be the next one? 21.
Do we want to do blue or do we want to do SEC or non-SEC? I'll let you make that mini choice before I go.
I think an SEC team. I just don't know which one here. We have two, maybe three options.
Yeah.
Let's go SEC.
All right. Let's go. God, that didn't help. That made things worse because they just introduced another team that I didn't. No, that's every single time I've now scrolled, I've gotten another team that I didn't want to see. All right. Let's go Mizzou.
Okay. I like it. I like it because the other team I had in mind was Texas A&M, but I think they're better than what people are giving them credit for.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I mean, their return, they won, they got second in the SEC. They were 11th in adjusted efficiency.
Booty schedule, though.
That's true, but I mean, they still are returning a lot, which is, it's unlike Auburn, who had a booty schedule in the SEC last year, won it, and didn't really return a lot of their actual pieces. They're returning Marble and Coleman. They're probably returning Wade Taylor and Tyrese Radford. Those are four major guys. Like, that's solid. That's a solid returning that, you know, you just got second in the SEC and returning four major contributors.
My issue is they essentially have no one else coming in, which is my
Transfer portal season is still early, though. Hey, like everyone says,
this is right now, not after. Like we got to do this based on what we.
Oh yeah, I know. Right, I that's fair. I still think Texas A&M. Either way, we're talking about Missouri right now.
Yeah,
Missouri, because they haven't really added anybody to the transfer portal either.
John Tonji is the guy that it has on 24/7 that they've added.
Yeah,
they transfer from Colorado State.
Kobe Brown's coming back.
6'5".
Isaiah Mosley.
It would be huge if they get Isaiah Mosley. Like, if he can actually come back,
yeah,
then that would be sick. Because he, like, could have been really good, but then didn't really do anything this year.
Yeah.
So, I'm good with Mizzou there. Kobe Brown's unreal.
He is, yeah. All right. So that's 2021. You just want to go Texas A&M here for 20? I feel like it was splitting hairs between these two. And for all the reasons, they're returning a lot. They're still, like I said, they still have time to add in the portal. But for right now, I think 20 is fine.
Yep.
They got a lot of experience coming back. So, yeah, give me that. 19. What are you thinking?
So I like the 24/7. I like the guy that they have, or the team they have at 19.
I do too. I do too.
You want to just go with them?
Yeah. Okay. TCU.
Shout out. Trading out one junior for another. Mike Miles gone.
I will always root for Jameer Nelson Jr. because
Jameer Nelson's going to be sick.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun for them. But they also, they're bringing back Micah Peavy and Xavier Cork, Damian Bowe, and Emmanuel Miller. So
yep.
That, like, you're keeping, like I said, all experience, adding experience point guard. 20 point per game score there. And then obviously they could still add in the portal. I don't think they'll add a whole lot, but yeah. 18, I don't like 24/7's 18. I don't even know if this team should be top 25. They have Tennessee. I think it should be Texas.
I'm down for Texas.
Before we talk about Texas, I don't think Tennessee should be a top 25 team going into next season. They're losing.
Yeah, probably not.
They're losing Vescovy, right?
He's
got to be out of here soon. I think
he could still come back with his extra year.
Mm.
He and Josiah Jordan James both have like a fifth year.
Oh, and Juris Plazovic too. Oh God, I'm gonna hate that.
Guys that need to get jobs. Amanda Bacot, Juris Plazovic. Just go get jobs, friends.
Please. Zakai Ziegler could be back from torn ACL. Unlikely he'll be back 100% by night one because that's a long comeback. Yeah. And then we know what's his name? He entered the portal and Kamwa's out.
Yep.
It's going portaling. So, yeah.
Texas isn't on any of these lists that I'm looking at.
It's on 24/7.
Really?
No, he's on Goodman's.
Ah.
It's on Goodman's list.
Oh, so we're going with Goodman's list.
Well, here's the reason why I think. Because they're keeping Tyrese Hunter and Morris. Dylan Dessou could come back. Dylan Mitchell could come back. Like, and they're bringing in Ron Holland, too. So, probably one of the best freshmen in the country coming in. Paired with experienced guards and an experienced front court. I like it.
Throw him here. Sure.
Yeah. So, all right. Who we got at 17?
You know who I don't like at all is the team that is at 16 on 24/7.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Why are we acting like Arkansas or Arizona is going to be good?
Losing to Bellis and Balo, it's going to be tough. And then also, I mean, they could return, but they're probably gone. And then what's his name?
Kripa
gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
And their recruiting class is currently 71st. Like, I don't know, man. What do we think about Gonzaga here? I feel like that they're 14 and 15 on Heat Check. Well, let me see, where are they on this guy? Bro, SI Goodman has Goodman at 7. That is gross.
Goodman has him at 24th.
Gross. Gonzaga's 14th on here, but I think that's a little bit high just as of now.
As of now, correct, but they are going to hit the portal and hit the portal hard.
And they also could get Anton Watson and Malachi Smith back, technically. Both.
We can't rule out Drew Timmy could return. That's the thing.
Wait, really?
He has a fifth year of eligibility left.
Bro, he was
the same class as Bacot.
God, get a job. You're on the get a job team, Drew Timmy. Get a job.
He was the same class as Bacot.
Something other than sports, man.
He's going to get, like... The thing is, like, Drew Timmy should get a decent, like, he should be looked at a little bit higher than what he's projected for the draft. I get he's older. But between all these centers that are projected second round, he is the best passer by far.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen is every single possession that he's on the floor, the other team is going to call, they're going to say, hey, guy that has Drew Timmy on him, come here and set this screen real quick. And then he is going to get absolutely worked.
That's true.
Like, he literally...
Offensively, he'd be fine in the NBA. It'd be the defensive end that he absolutely like, get
if Rudy again. Gobert can get played off the floor, imagine what teams are going to do to Drew Timmy.
Yeah. Like, no doubt. But you, like, I'm just saying, you bring him in... I'm not saying he's an NBA starter by any means, but he could definitely get some minutes off the bench as a stretch four.
Stretch four, he doesn't even shoot threes, though.
Yeah, he does. He made one in the tournament.
He is 19 for 75 in his career. I'm looking at his page right now.
That's what he needs to work on. He's coming back.
25.
He's coming back to Gonzaga and stretching that floor, baby.
Good. I hope he does, because then they're going to suck, and they are way too high on this list. The man is buns. He can't shoot for shit. I want to see Drew Timmy in the NBA. I want to see Drew Timmy at Summer League and just get to watch some random no-name college basketball player that we watched like 3 years ago that we're like, oh, that guy was really fun. And we get to see him just absolutely work Drew Timmy.
There we go. We need to decide a 16 team here. So who are we going with?
I like Alabama in this area. Just because they, I think as of now,
what are we doing with guys that have declared potentially will come back? Because Quinterly and Bediako both declared.
Operating as if they are gone.
Okay, then I might not even have them on the list. They do have the 17th ranked recruiting class, though. Tennessee's recruiting class is also good, which is a point in their favor in terms of them being on this.
And it's going to suck, but he's going to, like, recruit Max Asemus super hard, too. I hope
he's fine.
Yeah.
That's a good fit. What do we think about USC? They have the number one overall player in Isaiah Collier, who's a beautiful player. They have...
Except for he chokes at free throw line. He's not good at the free throw line. Oh, my gosh, dude. He went, 6 for 12 or something in the McDonald's All-American game.
Yeah, that's a... Why are we shooting free throws in the McDonald's All-American game anyway?
That was fun, though. I had so much fun watching that.
They also have two other top 100 recruits coming in. They have three guys that will be sophomores next year that were top 40 recruits.
Yeah.
Let's go USC.
Yeah. I like it.
Ooh, okay.
We go Bama 16 and then USC 15.
We also need to get FAU in here because we're talking about them being too high, but unless we're going to
I like them at 14. I think they're returning a lot, unless those guys go portaling, which I doubt it. Dusty May's coming back. He said, "I'm not leaving. I ain't going anywhere."
He's the Wolf of Wall Street meme.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like I said, Goodman has them at 4. They're not that good.
No, they're not that good.
This top 10, I think, is actually going to be somewhat easy to fill out. It's getting to the top 10 is tough.
Yeah, I agree. What number are we on now?
I have Bama at 16, USC at 15, and FAU at 14.
Sure, I'm down with it.
And again, that's operating with Bama thinking that Sears is gone, Quinterly's gone. Like, a lot of their key pieces are gone. All right, who are we going with next then? 13. I'm looking at.
What are we doing with Miami?
There's so many question marks around Miami. I don't know.
Exactly.
24/7 has them at 8. I mean, Nigel Back is back. The Pack is back because he signed a 2-year, $800,000 deal for NIL.
Hell yeah, he did. Get that bag, young man.
He's back. So, Pack.
Let's go Miami here.
Yeah. And I have a hot take for 12.
All right.
I think Kentucky. I don't know if that's a hot take in your mind, but
honestly, at this point, given what we know about the team, they should probably be a little bit lower, but yeah, I'm down.
I say Kentucky because we've seen talented freshmen like this that show out McDonald's All-American. Like that we've seen them not translate super well to the college game.
We've also seen it translate really fucking well.
That's true. And so I'm just erring on the side of caution, going with 12 here.
Yeah, I mean,
right now, there's also some serious concerns about their front court right now.
Yes, especially if we're under the assumption right now that Hugo is leaving too, then we have a serious front court problem.
Yeah.
That I assume we will address, but yes, at the moment we do not have it addressed. So
yeah.
Like I said, we honestly, this is probably a little too high for them, honestly, if we're being fully.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. This is banking on how good the freshmen are. And then.
Which I'm fine doing that because we know they're on the team. But.
Yeah. If the Kentucky adds like Kalea Ware and one of. I don't know who are the 50.
No, we're not adding Kalea Ware. We're adding the dude from Marshall. Because he's incredible. Yeah. And that way, Sean Vincel will have something to be positive about the entire year because he cannot. He literally has in the inability to say a bad word about that Marshall guy. So I need him just for Sean's vibes.
If we add a rim protecting center and a, I say they need a guard or a wing that can shoot 30 to 35% from three and can stay in front of their man, then if it's Chris Ludlum, it's Chris Ludlum. If it's TJ Bamba, it's TJ Bamba. If it's Keyshawn Gilbert, whatever. Like, there's plenty of options in the portal right now for them to go get somebody like that. So
right. I'm good with it.
Yeah. All right. Then we have number 11. What do you think of UCLA right here?
Dude, I don't get the hype for UCLA, especially with Jalen Clark being out for like half the season. Like, they're lucky if he's back for Pac-12 play.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely
probably should have put them in there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we got to put them in there some point because I think they're going to be in the top 25. It's just like we might have to reorganize. Like,
yeah, it's probably a little high for them, in my opinion. But
yeah. Like, Amari Bailey, everyone's saying like he could return. He's gone. That man is gone. Adembona is back. He's going to be back.
Again, got to operate with what we have right now, though, which if he hasn't declared, then
yeah, that's true. Well, assuming he's coming back, then I like UCLA here a lot. If not, they need to go in top 10. But, yeah. All right, let's move on then. Who we have as 10? There's like two options I'm seeing.
Michigan State?
What's one?
Is Purdue the other one?
Kansas the other one for me.
Let me see what Kansas has got going on. Number 5 recruiting class. Good for you.
Losing Grady and Jalen is gonna suck for them.
Those replacing that scoring is tough. They're still gonna be so good on defense, though.
Oh yeah, KJ Adams back. DeJuan Harris back. Like they'll be fine defensively. It's just finding the scoring is gonna suck. Marco Jackson is their blue chip guard
here, just because I feel like they have more.
See, my argument for this is: do we trust Big Ten teams? Like, it's Big Ten versus Big 12.
I'm fine with going Big Ten when they have more returning and a higher ranked recruiting class.
Yeah, that's true.
And aren't trying to replace their best player.
Yeah,
their two best players.
Yeah. Yeah, because Sissoko is going to be back, Kohler's going to be back, Cooper's going to be back, and then they get Xavier Booker, who's
Tyson Walker's back.
Yeah, Malik Hall.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
He has an extra year.
Yeah, all right, I like it. Just completely undermines my Big Ten is poo-poo basketball agenda.
I mean, they are, but like...
Who do we like at 8 here? Or no, not... Yeah, 8, sorry.
I'm going through and looking at these consensus. Ooh, I didn't even think about them.
I think UConn should be 8, despite they just won the national championship. They're going to be losing. They're obviously, nobody's announced, but they are losing Hawkins, Sanogo, and Jackson.
Was Jackson the one that sucks at defense?
I guess.
What number is he?
He's their point guard.
Oh, then no. Whoever number 14 is for them, they should have, or 44, they should attack him on every single play.
Because that dude
was getting cooked repeatedly.
Yeah.
Whoever he was. Who is he? No, yeah, Andre Jackson. Bruh, he was getting cooked. That dude's bad. Tristan Newton is who you meant to say.
Oh, yes. Correct. Yeah. No, Jackson is projected to leave, too.
All right. Well, good. He should, because he's bad. Go get a job. You're the 3-man on the go get a job team. We got too many bigs. I'm down with UConn here. Sure. They probably should honestly be lower than this, but...
It's just they're losing significant pieces.
Yeah, like...
You know, like, even though it's not announced, obviously, like, it's not unfair for all the other teams to be like, oh, well, these guys already announced they're leaving. these guys are just an hour away from, like, an hour ago they were playing a national championship game. So
Newton could come back.
Newton could come back. I doubt he will, but he could come back.
Jordan Hawkins is definitely gone. Dude, look, this draft is bad, and it's especially bad for big men.
Yeah.
You could see a surprise Donovan Klingon leave as well. Cause,
like, transfer? Or you're saying...
No, like go to UVA.
Yeah. Probably.
I think teams would really like him, because he's an uglier version of Walker Kessler.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, then who do we like at 7 here? I like Houston here personally. Houston is losing Sasser, losing Walker. Tramon Marcus entered the transfer portal. They could still keep Shedd, Sharp, and what else? Who else did they got? They got Juwan Roberts.
Arsenault could be really fun.
Yeah.
Good.
Like, they're still returning enough pieces.
Yeah, they should probably be lower right now. Like, they're definitely going to add more in the transfer portal. So
yeah.
Here later, but they should probably be lower at this point, just given.
Or do we go Arkansas here and then Houston?
Like, but why are we putting Arkansas above Kentucky?
I feel like we need to put them in there. We probably missed the window putting them in there. And honestly, yeah. Like, Arkansas should be at 14 and FAU should maybe be out. Or maybe, like, we bump Colorado out and put FAU at 24 and Arkansas at 14. I don't know. Arkansas's got to be in here somewhere. They're adding Bayfall. They're probably keeping Devo Davis and Jordan Walsh. Trayvon Brazil is coming back.
Layden Blocker also transferred in.
Yeah. Like, they have.
Yeah. Let's put them in here. Let's just try and get 25 teams, and then we can order them.
Yeah, later. That's fair.
At this point, I feel like we've done a bad job at.
Oh yeah, we've like, oh wait, this team exists.
Yeah.
Coming in at 6, I like Creighton here. What do you think?
Yes, Creighton, good, big, good.
Yes. And then and the top 5 is going to be fun here. I like Purdue in the top 5.
So, I mean,
I don't know if that means they'd be the 5th or what, but I like them in the top 5 here.
Gross, but sure.
They're returning, like, everybody. Edie could be back. It was probably going to be back, not transferring, unlike Jeff Borzello, not Jeff Borzello said.
That man got. Man got ball snapped.
Yeah.
Sure, that's gross, but sure.
They're returning all they want how many wins they have this season?
Like, yeah, and they're gonna get UNC treatment. They're gonna get Kentucky treatment with Oscar Tshiebwe now, where everyone now the book is out on how to beat them, and
yeah.
I don't see them getting any better from who they're bringing in.
I think their guards will take a step up in terms of development, which is what they exactly. Yeah.
Not, then they're just going to get played the exact same way that FDU played them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
They're going to be way worse.
All right, number 4, who we want?
Did we already say Creighton?
Yep.
Shit. God, I love that Creighton team so much.
They're good. I just feel like their style of play is too...
Dope? Too...
Incredible. No, it's fun. It's just it's too shooting dependent, where you get a cold night and it just hurts you so much. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have a whole lot of balance to their game.
Every team.
Yeah, that's fair. But I mean, like, at least there's some teams that are too shooting dependent where it hurts them in the long run. Man, I feel like we probably need to reassess on some of these teams.
Yeah.
I have no idea who I want to put at 4, but I like Marquette at 2. I like Marquette at 1. They're returning literally everybody. Like, literally everybody. And the team that won the Big East regular season and tournament, they were a really young team, too. That's why I really like them.
We put Miami in already.
Um,
It's my one is gross and I hate it.
What is it?
Who do you think? There's not many more teams that are worthy of being at one. And this team is objectively the grossest team that I could put. Yes.
I don't Duke hate, like, at first Duke I was like,
filthy this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to...
Proctor. Roach, if he comes back. Mkabo, Mark Mitchell, Kyle Filipowski, whoever they want to throw out there at the two. Tyrese Proctor is going to be an absolute just menace next year, and it's going to be so disgusting.
Yeah.
So sad about it.
All right. We'll do Marquette at two, Duke at one. Still have 4 and 3 to figure out.
Who did we leave out that probably should have been in there lower? We already put Arkansas in, right?
Let's do this. Let's bump everybody up two and then just add two to the back end, 24 and 25.
All right, I'm down.
People listening to this, I'm sorry, but this is what you get. Hey, this is a beers and buckets.
It's 12:45 at night.
Yeah.
What do you want from us?
This is all just off. Like, we have no notes on tonight, too. We were just winging this whole thing. If we had notes, we would have easily owned this, but we're just having fun right now. I like doing that, though, because then we can add Arizona in on the back end because we didn't put them in at all, and I think they'll still be in there somewhere. They're a pretty decent team.
Who?
Arizona.
Sure. San Diego State is one that I think could be in there.
Those guys, that whole team needs to get a job. So,
but sadly, like, none of them, like, they'll lose Bradley, Keyshawn Johnson, and Mensah, but everyone else will be back. And they apparently have three former top 200 recruits that will be, like, kind of stepping up, including Miles Byrd, who I actually really like.
All right, so, and actually, I think this is the right move anyways, because we have some people that we were, I think, a little too low on that could go up, start the season higher.
How about this? We obviously have our 25 teams, then we both go through and order them, and we can put that out as a graphic as well.
I like it. So we just got to add the two teams in the back end here because we have Maryland at 23.
So we have SDU in there, SDSU in there, I mean.
Yeah, at 24 and then Arizona at 25.
Yep, I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's looking pretty fine to me. Because then I like this. So, all right, so now real quick, let's do our own order here. Or we'll just put it out tomorrow. We don't have to talk about it on the pod. We'll just put it out. Look for it on Twitter.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. And then, yeah, so real quick, I want to talk before we leave on some portal news. I'm not going to go through what we normally do. I'll save that for when I'm with somebody next week while Dal is in Europe.
Ooh.
But Hunter Dixon looking like he entered, and he's looking like he's a Maryland lock 100% according to On3. Max A. Smith, undecided, entered, yesterday or today?
You said him to go to Arkansas. Not, yeah. I was thinking Fardaz AMAC for some reason.
No.
I would not like.
I was Max like, A-Smith. Dude, I would hate Max A. Smith going to Arkansas. Out.
Thumbs down, no, denied, veto, whatever.
Caleb Love looking like he's going either Missouri or Indiana.
Oh, to get a job? The point guard on the get a job team.
Yeah, we already said Jameer Nelson to TCU. Caleb Ware looking like either Memphis or Arkansas, which I heard the Arkansas bridge was burnt, but I guess not.
Yeah, that I'm just going to sit out like talking about Caleb Ware at all until he decides to go somewhere, and then we can have a conversation.
Taron Armstrong either looking like Washington or Gonzaga. So looking like he's going out west. If he goes to Gonzaga, that's going to be filthy.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Jalen Cook, look, 100% LSU according to On3.
Good for him.
Slater confirmed that he was staying in the state of Louisiana, so that's fine.
Well, Grant, there's not many choices then.
Yeah, so. Yep. Graham Ike, Providence is looking like after, like I said, Eddie Lampkin committed to Colorado. So Providence is one team that is really, like, intriguing me right now.
Dude. If they get Graham Ike, then him and Bryce Hopkins as a front court is filthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, a little undersized, but filthy.
They also he also got somebody else to return. Kim English did. Apparently, he's been just challenging players one on one on if when they want to enter the portal. He's just like, "I'll play you one on one. If I win, then you stay." And he must be just destroying them because they're Devin all Carter. Staying. Yeah, yeah, they're all staying. Jameson Battle from Minnesota, 100% to Indiana.
Wait, is that actually true?
Yeah.
That's sick.
That's such a baller move. Kim English is one of my favorite coaches right now, and he's doing everything right. And it's I'm excited for him. Excited for him.
That's what Penny should have done.
Yes, 100%.
Penny and Mike Miller should have been challenging dudes to 2-on-2 to get them to stay.
Kirk Krisha, I mean, it's looking like it could be either West Virginia or Nebraska. That man in Nebraska.
Gross. Man, how can you be from Europe and decide, you know where I want to go fucking live? Nebraska.
In the corn.
You can't do that, sir. Oh, no. Better. West Virginia's not any better either. Man, have higher standards, sir.
Khalif Battle, it's looking like a toss-up between now. It would look at one point it was like 100% UCF lock, but looks like Muss and the Bus is closing the gap there for Arkansas. Arkansas, how many scholarships you have, man? Like, holy crap. Walter Clayton looked like at one point, because he was at Iona, looked like at one point he was going to Florida, but Rick Pitino got a job at St. John's, and it's looking like he's cutting the lead there for him. So there's a lot of decent options here in the portal. Those are the biggest names, the biggest things that I've seen as far as people making decisions. So we'll see.
One name
of
a team that we didn't say, but is another Mountain West team that could be in there, even though they lost Ryan Odom because he's going to VCU, but Utah State was probably returning their two best players. They were really good last year, ended up losing to Mizzou in the 7-10 matchup there. But they could get a lot of guys back. They have four seniors that could come back too. That I don't know if they have eligibility or not, but I wouldn't be shocked if whoever they hire ends up doing a good job in year one because Ashworth and Shulga are both good.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, this has been the national championship edition of Beers and Buckets. So it's been a fun episode. It's getting pretty late for us, and we need to get going to sleep. Dal's got a pack because he's got a trip he's going to.
I'm going to be up in 5.5 hours.
Unfortunately for you, Dal, I'm going to have some guests on next week, and I think it's going to be looking like we'll be reviewing our fantasy team, so we will talk for you. but that's what we'll probably end up doing next week.
I'll send like a voice memo or something in that we can –
just that rant, just go on a rant about how you got screwed out of that after having your team. It's kind of funny how Bradley's team was made purely for trolls and then ended up being a decent team. All
seriously.
Yeah. But overall, it's been a fun episode. Like I said, we are no longer with the Basketball Podcast Network because it is not a thing anymore. So be on the lookout for any news that we have regarding that upcoming. And I think if by the time we post this, we should be transferred back over to our old podcast hosting platform, which means that you could watch this on video if you're listening to Spotify. So, so that'd be fun. So this has been The Bottom Line because Connor said so. And you guys have a fantastic week and enjoy this off season and the portal and all for all it's worth because we're here for the long haul, baby.
Yes, sir.
Have a great week, guys.